2-year course, term 5, week 4, exercise 3. So again, this table invites you to work out what the meaning of these various forms is, and indeed there's some English to Sanskrit examples as well. So the idea is to try to work out what the dhatu might be, try to think what it means, and then you can go back and check. So one way of doing this might be to write your answers in pencil and then go back and check and correct as necessary. Then you have your English to Sanskrit sentences, sheet 6. Check whether you know the words that are listed at the top, because obviously they're going to come up in the sentences. And this is to help point out some of the ones that you might have not known or have forgotten. So when translating at this level, the key thing is to put your verb at the end. First of all, look at the order as it would be in Sanskrit. Sometimes it's exactly the same as the English, but often the verb in English is earlier on in the sentence and you need to shift it to the end. It's also a matter of recognizing the form of the sentence, the construction. So number 1 is direct speech, so you're going to need iti at the end of what's being said. Number 2 uses an indefinite, anything. Number 3 is inviting you to use samasas, compounds, instead of separate words for the wise words and good people. Number 4, you've got the practice of the locative absolute, when or while, 7th case. Number 5, whenever, and so you've got a complimentary sentence here. Whenever Rama saw the deer, you have to use an equivalent to then, it went among the trees again. Number 6, you've got another indefinite, sometimes. Number 7, you've got 2 compounds, samasas, to be used. Number 8 looks like a straightforward sentence construction. Number 9, you've got a compound, samasa, and also a present participle, walking. Number 10 is, again, samasa, filled with trees, flowers, lions, deer, and monkeys, depending on how you want to construct that.